You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir, and I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Knight Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of OneOfUs.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming.
Previously on the final days of Gotham.
Gotham is coming to a freaking end, man. I can't take it.
What do I love, Travis?
You love it when they're walking together in a line.
I fuck it. You bet. God damn I do.
You won't believe it. He steals their beans, guys.
How dare you?
Oh, man, no. Your mask, your makeup is so bad. Why can't they get your costume right? Do you think he surgically implanted Lee inside of Riddlers like mine?
Would it really surprise you?
No, nothing would. There's no such thing as too big for Penguin. There's never a day on set where they're like, is that too much? No one ever said that ever. The quicker we deal with Victor Freeze, I think the better we were off to.
They basically said like, and Firefly and Freeze are off somewhere doing things.
Dude, if Nicolas Cage would be perfect for this universe.
I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your body?
Oh, definitely my spirit. Definitely my spirit.
Oh, Gotham, you crazy, crazy, crazy show. The last thing this show needed for the 12, they have a shortened season this time, only 12 episodes, and yet somehow they still managed to have time to put in filler. Like, how is that possible? You get fewer episodes and still have the filler problem from the previous seasons.
Well, what I do love about Gotham is that it's three filler episodes at once, so, I mean, there's that.
It's like a giant sneeze. They just get out of their system and then they get back to the plot.
Eventually, they've very much streamlined it. It's kind of impressive.
Oh, man, we have, like, leftover gangs here in this episode. Like, what? What do we have? Oh, we have the leftover Joel Schumacher Blacklight gang. have some of the psychos from Borderlands for some reason. Ah, let's get rid of them at all in one episode.
Right? Hey, everybody. It's the final days of Gotham once again. We're on episode 2, Trespassers. I'm Justin Zarian, your host as usual. Over here, we got Nick Tice. How you doing?
Hello, I'm doing just fine. I'm feeling more on the nerdy side of the Riddler spectrum than the upper and flamboyant confidence. But, I mean, maybe my co-host is a little more confident than that. Travis, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm still kind of curious if this is talking about episode of Gotham or the Dragon Age DLC. Not sure which.
I feel like...
Since I am playing through Dragon Age, I know exactly what you mean, so...
A lot of dirty Shemlins in this fucking city.
But, hey, you may have heard a different voice on this podcast. We have a guest host on today. It's Alan from the Midnight Chat Attack at Double Toasted. How are you doing, buddy?
Yes, who the hell am I? I just showed up and they said, yeah, you can stay.
He's like one of those guest stars on Gotham, which means he's going to die via headshot.
Or stay forever.
Or stay forever.
But I'll have one cool line and then get eaten or some shit.
Maybe he'll be our Victor Zsasz. He shows up every now and then, does something cool, and then he goes away for like 7 episodes.
Oh, dude, he's my favorite character on that show.
Seriously, yeah. I keep waiting for Zsasz to show up in this. He's like he's just wandering around with that other black henchman dude, just doing whatever at this point, I guess.
At this point, I want an entire show just Victor Zsasz. He's the coolest fucking character on the show.
Oh, I forgot about his buddy with the purple bebop from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles mohawk.
Right? Yeah, the dude.
Oh, yeah, that guy! Who's biologically immortal.
And seriously, he gets stabbed in the chest, looks like he's pretty dead. Next episode, he's fine. He just had a scratch, shook it off.
It's okay, boss. I'm ready to get back to that, those toidles.
Pretty sure he's been blown up at least once.
So, this is episode 2 of this season, Trespassers. This one was directed by Louis Shaw Melito, who... He's had a very scattered career directing this show. Oh, he directed the second episode of season 4 when we got to see Scarecrow attack Jim Gordon. But he's only done like 6-8 episodes this whole season. And, you know, I'm just going to get this a little bit out front. I thought this episode was okay. You know, just, I don't know. What did you guys think?
Ooh.
I feel like they set up a lot in episode 1. They're like, this would be awesome. And then they realize, oh shit, it's not. And thus this episode was
born. I feel like it's, every once in a while you get those storylines in Gotham. Like, if you will remember the Whisper Gang, where it's like, they introduce an element, and then it seems like within that episode they go, actually this was a horrible idea and we're really bored with this, let's axe it.
Well, because that's the thing is that they start with this whole video game concept they introduced last episode. It's like, we got the gangs who are taking over the city. We have to take them down one by one, each block kind of thing. And instead of doing that, because they're like, oh, we're going to be here freaking forever if they take over every block of Gotham, we're just going to wipe out 3 of them in this episode. Just because.
I did like that it actually had open warfare like I was wanting in the first episode. Yeah. Like, that was neat to see that. I'm sorry, Travis, what did you say?
Well, also, Jim at one point pulls out, like, an updated map with everything, like, sectioned out as the gangs. Like, when did you have time to make that?
That was interesting.
Like, dude, I laugh when that happened because it's, like, the sirens and everyone. I'm like, yo, man, I don't know what GTA map you printed out, man, but this is great.
Dude, this is the best video game I've been watching the beginning of 2019.
Like, Google is on this shit, apparently.
I saw the GameFAQs hyperlink on it. On the bottom. But
that's the thing, like, for me, like, I was bored throughout this episode. Like, it's bored in the sense of a familiar boredom, because this is what a Gotham episode is typically like. For people that, I don't know if you just jumped on season 5 for some fucking reason right away, episode 1 is really, really good, but that's good for Gotham, which means it's fucking one of the best episodes of the series. Episode 2, this is what Gotham is like. It's this boring, mundane, really not much going on, 3 different plot lines that don't intersect at all, so it's 3 different stories that you just forget are happening because they just happen.
Yeah, Alan, like, remember which podcast you're on. Yeah.
This is a typical episode of Gotham, and you cannot tell me otherwise.
I have to push back. This is an outlier, and one of the reasons it is because no fucking Penguin in this episode.
True.
Yeah, that was a huge problem.
Yeah, there was no Penguin, and then who else didn't show up? I mean, well, there's still no Lee wherever she went. Who cares?
I don't really care about Deadpool too.
Yeah, no, but that was weird. Yeah, no Penguin actually is a significant loss to the energy of the show, because they set up him. They talk a lot about him.
Well, also, like, the two best characters, Penguin, like, and Riddler only gets a marginal time in this episode.
Okay, let's talk about Riddler first, because, okay, so that one of the major storylines here is about, like, 3 central plots interweaving with a whole bunch of random, random just stuff throughout this. The shortest one and the least interesting one by far was the Riddler stuff.
What do you mean?
Okay,
Riddler wakes up chained to a bed and then finds a guy in his shower? That's not interesting? That's fantastic. Okay.
I thought it was the best part of the episode.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of Riddler storyline. Like, this is the 3rd time we've dealt with this storyline of Ed and Riddler doing their thing again. Like,
I thought it was different because he's struggling to fight himself.
The Riddler's the one on the outside this time.
No, I think the Riddler's the one on the yeah, and he's trying to fight who he thinks is Ed, but then it turns out in this episode he might not be.
Like, apparently it's like a 3rd personality, like someone who is even more Riddler than the actual Riddler.
That could be kind of fun. Or unless
it feels like a random side story to the main.
Well, but that's the biggest problem.
Fallout, this is a random.
That's the biggest problem with this scene is that it's not that I don't like Corey Michael Smith still playing the Riddler. The problem is that he's so isolated from everything else happening in the story. It literally is its own show at this point.
Yeah,
it's really weird because you say that stuff's really interesting where he wakes up and finds a random biker that he's kidnapped and doesn't remember how he tortured him or what he got from him.
That's my favorite part though, is that he's like, I tortured you for the information? Like, yeah, and I didn't tell you anything. I feel like you did. Yeah, you're right, but I'm not gonna tell you again. Okay.
10 seconds later, cut 2.
I do love that he has to torture all. He has to go through and just torture this guy again in order to.
Well, I do have a theory about this, because this one ended with them finding a sign on the wall saying Penguin was here.
Yeah.
Which
so he tortures the guy to try and get to the street demons, one of the other gangs, the expendable gangs they have in Gotham for some reason. Mm-hmm. They try to find the leader of the gang, only to find out they've already been killed, either by him or by somebody else. But then we see the sign that says Penguin was here. But yes, continue.
So that leads me basically to conclusions. Either A, the personality inside at whoever is controlling him at night wants Penguin dead for some reason, or B, is Penguin.
What?
That he created a persona in his head that happens to be Penguin.
That's your theory?
Look, do you really think they're going to spend a whole entire season with those two characters not interacting? And...
you think his third
person... Revolver Ocelot created Liquid Snake as a personality.
That's crazy. That's even crazy for Gotham, but I kind of love
that sounds about right for Gotham.
Dude, I want to see Penguin's arm sewed onto the Riddler's body. He turns into Penguin. You know?
Kind of into it.
Because I mean, they made out the Penguin
following the Riddler around, making fun of him in his head.
Yes, that way we get to double the Penguin for our dollar. Yes,
I'd buy that.
Wow,
yeah. I'm into it.
That honestly, the more you say it, the more I see it. Like I could see it the next episode, just fucking your Penguin just screaming into his ear, like, didn't that happen? I feel like that happened in the last season with the whole freezing thing when he became dumb for like half the season.
I love how like we started off like that's insane, and then we like talked ourselves into like in just 30 seconds like actually that's pretty buyable. Never mind.
Dude, this is a series in which fucking Jim Gordon gets injected by some weird virus bullshit, crawls himself out of a grave, and then just goes on a sword fighting spree for like half an episode.
Yeah, somehow these trained ninjas can't beat Jim Gordon and Bullock just fist fighting them.
The League of Assassin loses to two cops and a zombie. Like...
He punches really hard, guys.
Which I did love the fact that Jim got one of his One Punch Man moments in this one too, where just some dude he just clocks in the face, you know, to escape kind of thing. I'm just like, that's Jim's secret weapon. He gets, you know, him, Hopper from Stranger Things, just get a good clock to the face to knock out the bad guys.
Well, luckily people keep trying to run up to him, and instead of using their guns, try and hit him in the face.
Yeah, Jim's secret weapon. No one shoots him.
But yeah, I mean, that's mostly what I got to say about the Riddler one, because like, yeah, it's just, I keep waiting because I feel like there is an end goal still. It's just taking freaking forever, and I wish there was somebody else in his plotline to talk to him, you know, because these random side characters, it's okay, but again, everything else that's happening outside of the storyline feels like they're more connected to each other than he is to them, and I think that's just a weird, weird decision on their part, so...
Right.
Yeah. Well, then, so I think I think the second one we should talk about is the Jim and Harvey storyline, where, so the main quest here comes off of the little kid that they, I say it like it's a video game, which it kind of is almost, where it's like, they get a quest from a new NPC character. But,
quest giver.
So this little kid comes up and is like, these guys, they're killing us, and we have to rescue all the children. Which is funny because I remember last week I said like, it might be the mutant gang, it might be Bane, and it turned out to be neither of them, believe it or not.
Soothsayers.
Turned out to be randos wanting to dig a tunnel and get high off smoke.
What is that? Okay, so I was assuming it would be like Venom or something like that, but it's like, nope, just some other random gas that apparently they just...
The fear toxin of Scarecrow and not Joker's gas, not...
No, it's something that lets them see the future or just fucking get high, whichever one it is.
Okay, do you guys think it's something or just some random nobody that just got super high?
It's just cigarette smoke. They need to call the jitters.
I really thought they were going to take an inhale and go strip, strip the flesh, salt the wounds. They are Borderlands villains, guys. Like, they just...
Seriously, like, what is this weird steampunk clockwork gear they're all wearing, these crazy masks and this stuff?
They really like Mad Max. It's the only movie they got left, man.
Yeah, until Mad Max vehicle comes out of nowhere at the end of this episode.
It's serious. Oh,
yeah, I'm sorry. Like, I get Gotham's in America, and America just has tanks everywhere, but why does Gotham have more armor than the military? Like, they have armored vehicles. They have fucking, like, machine guns everywhere. Like, it's nuts.
Well, let's just set up a little bit. So, so Jim and Harvey go to go rescue these guys with whatever cops are remaining, you know? Rather than maybe send in a smaller team, they have, like, 6 or 7 or 8 cops they get to try and rescue these children.
I ask... How many cops are in Gotham?
Based on what we saw, 10.
It's just a respawn. They have a generating number of NPCs who join them on the mission.
They're not cops. They just get the uniforms and throw them on random.
They have a spawn pool of police squad, and it hasn't re-upped since the last episode.
Secretly, the GCPD has Lazarus pits. They're just not saying it.
In the back. Shit, we lost Tony again. All right, in the Lazarus pit.
Yeah, but so they need armored cars, so they go to Barbara, who is still very much not happy about the fact that Tabitha got killed last episode, but she's like, whatever, you can take my cars. I still hate you, but, you know, whatever.
Dude, can we please talk about the lighting in the Siren's Call?
episode, like they were on strike or something?
Okay, this whole episode, the lighting was all messed up at it, but in the Siren's Call specifically, it's like... a lighthouse is in the background and keeps going in and out, and like you can't see half the time. And
I thought something was wrong with my TV.
What is happening? I was looking at Travis like, what is going on? What insane person put this to film and was like, this isn't annoying at all. People will be able to follow this.
Usually Gotham is a really, really well-shot show, and for some reason, yeah, someone just puts a giant light in the center of it, just like, all right, look around this kind of thing.
J.J. Abrams showed up for like 5 minutes and then said, do this.
It was like, it really was shocking, because I'm like, this is terrible. Like, this is awful.
Yeah, I didn't get what was happening there. But yeah, so we leave that place, and then they go to rescue the children from the soothsayers, which on the way, they also get assaulted by this Hot Topic group that all wear like skull face paint, and they have freaking arrows and
the skull face paint that also lights up at night in blacklight. They are the Joel Schumacher skull gang from Batman Forever.
Pretty much.
And it has my favorite line in the fucking season so far. Arrows, Jim! Arrows!
As if that's the worst thing that Harvey has seen this entire time.
Right. But he's just sick of it. He's sick of the bullshit.
I think he's
like,
just
arrows
trying to
now.
Question,
come on.
How hard do you have to pull back on a bowstring to where arrows punch through a fucking car?
Mm. Not just a regular car, an armored car. Seriously.
Was it an armored car? Because at that point, they were just in a regular, like, truck.
Well, that's the thing. They're getting the trucks from Barbara. That was the whole thing.
I think my point still stands.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah.
Hey, they're probably a crossbow. Those things are pretty fucking powerful.
Yeah, but so...
No, one guy was using a fucking, just long bow. Not even a compound bow. I saw it.
Okay, I don't know. Arrow showed up, man.
I don't know. That,
they were all in that episode of the Longbow Hunters.
You expect that scene to go on longer, but it just ends. Like, it just goes commercial. You're like, okay,
dude,
I guess.
I completely forgot about those guys until they showed up again. I know, that's right. There was these guys.
That was so weird. I couldn't make sense of that. I'm like, why did we even bother? Yeah. But yeah, so they go find the kids, and they have a big confrontation with Sykes, which... I guess, is that guy someone from a previous episode? Because they make a big deal like, Sykes, oh, I remember you. It's like, I think this is the first time we've seen this character. Don't treat it like we've met this guy.
I don't remember even that happening. They mentioned him by name?
Yeah, they actually called him Sykes at one point. I'm like, I guess he's supposed to be an established character. Because even he lives at the end of this, where they shoot him, but I guess he was like still breathing, I guess. But it's like, why are you making us invest in this character that literally nobody cares about at this point?
Maybe he's a comic book character? Because like sometimes they'll throw in random bullshit. Oh, yeah, that guy's from the comic.
I'm sure he's
Well, I thought their costumes kind of looked like the Ratcatcher, but I don't think that's what they're going for.
I'm sure he's like a D-list supervillain on the comics. Which they...
He's Calendar Man.
The Condiment King will show up next episode. But which they actually did say they wanted to get the Condiment King at one point in the show.
Condiment King has his own fucking territory that is all fucking ketchup food. And mustard like related. Like.
Fast food district.
You might say he even relishes in the violence.
Don't even. Oh my god! I knew he was gonna go there.
I had to do one just for you, buddy. Just for you. But yeah, so they rescue the kids really easily. I must say, it really took no effort whatsoever to beat these guys.
You really
no,
didn't need
they,
to bring
like,
that many cops.
They stood down until one guy got in position that said, "Oh, you don't think you have enough bullets?" And then proceeded to shoot at them. Like, okay,
they actually waited until they were at the weakest point tactically.
Yeah,
like. All the kids, it would have been much easier to fight if all the kids were chained up and they could use them as leverage. Like,
yeah, that was a very poorly thought out battle. And again, it's weird too, like, I mean, saying outside the director, the writer of this is the guy who directed the last episode, Danny Cannon. And I'm just like, okay, clearly this guy just can't write very well. You know, they have to switch off duties on these TV shows, but he just, I don't know, the pacing was just so off of that battle. But anyways, that happens. Yeah. Jim and Harvey get separated from the group because three kids get separated from the gang and they have to go on foot because the tires got blown out, which, you know, it's actually nice to see people do that. Where it's like, yeah, easiest way to deal with a problem with cars, just shoot the tires out. That's a really simple solution.
No. No, shooting the engine is an easier solution.
Dude, it takes a lot of shots to crack through that metal to get to the engine, but shooting the tires, you can't drive on the wheel of the tire itself. That's
well,
like
plus really... in Gotham, you don't know when one just random body shot will make a car explode.
Well, true.
No, this is just random, like, military shit. You know, you don't aim for the fucking tires. Those things are built, like, really, really fucking well. True. So the fact that they managed to pop is, like, pretty fucking impressive.
True. But anyways, yeah, so they went about, they find this abandoned... Okay, so how many freaking abandoned buildings are there in Gotham, too? Like, there's abandoned factories, there's abandoned
I like to
hotels.
Think that they all house a singular crazy person. Like, just...
One person?
Just one person.
See, Gotham is both a block long and infinitely huge.
Yes.
Well, they had the Court of Owls show up at one point last season, so fuck it, as many as they need.
Yeah, so they find this random building, they collect a bunch of stuff, they scour the area, and it turns out, I don't even know what this character is, but there's some crazy lady who's like this, like, psycho ghost serial killer kind of thing who...
calls herself Mother.
Yeah,
because of course she does.
Yeah, I was surprised it wasn't Jennifer Lawrence. Like, Mother! You know, from that freaking terrible movie.
I thought that was like The Woman in Black was here, and I expected Daniel Radcliffe.
That's what I thought too.
Daniel Radcliffe just to pop out the side, like, guys, don't fuck with her.
Because that was the thing where the little kid who jumps out and goes like, oh, you gotta help us, and then he locks them in the room for these flashing.
Well, I automatically
lights.
Knew that kid was full of shit because it was like, who are? What's your name? I don't remember. Okay, well, where's your parents? They died, and here's all the rest of my backstory that I do remember, except for my name.
This incredibly rehearsed script that I've.
Yep.
But yeah, so that happens where they have this crazy rave sequence with the strobe lights that stop the bad guy, and then she
manages.
Which
I'm like, guys, close your eyes. Like, close you don't eyes. Have to look at the lights.
Yes, you do. They're so mesmerizing.
Yeah, so that happens, and I forget. Did they actually stop her? She just disappeared, right?
Like, she disappears into
yeah,
a.
She wandered off into the house because it was full of like hidden holes and such.
Yeah, it has like a secret like a wall door or whatever that she pops through, which was interesting.
Sure, whatever, Gotham. But yeah, she gets away. They bring the kids back, and I don't know. That again, it's the weirdest thing that this whole part with Jim and Harvey I thought would actually lead somewhere, but it ended up just being filler. The last part after all that happens, something that's still kind of filler, but kind of made the arc a little bit more interesting, where somehow out of nowhere, the Soothsayers and the Joel Schumacher gang catch up with them. Mm-hmm. And then, right when it seems like they're all going to die, although Jim got a really good headshot on the leader of the
Joel
Schumachers.
Yeah, he gets the headshot off
he's
the main, like, goes
so
like,
casual.
Damn, Jim.
Like, he's like, I have two bullets left. Are you sure? Nails the lady in the head, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I have one now.
That bothered me so much, because like, he has two bullets, right? But then instead of shooting the guy he's talking to, turns around and just shoots up other random woman in the face.
Because she wasn't
but
expecting
never
it.
Never actually deals with the guy.
Yeah, but then he doesn't have to because out of nowhere, Barbara, who was like, screw you, I'm not going to ever help you again, shows up with this giant Borderlands armored vehicle and guns down everybody. It's just...
Like,
anyone else
y'all getting
for a half second
though?
Maybe Furiosa would pop out of there?
Well, it's funny because like, so apparently Barbara's been getting these trucks because people will exchange them to be able to stay in the Sirens Club for safety. And I'm like, who's the dude who's collecting these armored vehicles and superpowered trucks to trade with Barbara?
Also, if you have that shit, I'm pretty sure you're in a good situation. You don't need Barbara to keep you safe.
Right? But, okay, and even weirder, because I remember talking about this with Nick and Travis last week. So... are they trying to imply that there's going to be some kind of, like, build-up emotionally with them again? Because they're like, oh, this weird, like, oh, well, you don't need me. I could handle myself. Oh, I'm sure you could have.
I did have a chuckle to myself when Jim leaves the Sirens call for the first time. It's like, goodbye, Jim's Gordon. Gotham, take him. Rip him apart. I'm going to hopefully you name your kid after me.
Like,
I like
okay,
to end
I,
every scene with... like, every scene that ends with them, I always like to end with, please name your kid after me. Or, like, I'm going to name my kid after you. Like, it's just, like, heightens the ridiculousness of where this must lead.
Oh, but this leads to my favorite moment where I laughed out loud is when they go to the Green Zone, one of the few places that has water, gas, you know, food, and...
that is literally green and well-lit.
Not just green. Literally the only place where the sun shines in the entirety of Gotham. Like, super bright, like, Tim Burton-style lighting effects going on here.
That sure reminds me of fucking... any of y'all ever play Shadow of Mordor? When you go to Green Door, that's what this fucking place reminds me of.
Wow. Yeah, so somehow apparently Lucius is there. There's a whole bunch of people. They got shelter, but they're like, oh, but now this place is going to be full by sundown, so we need to move to the next place and get more places. It's like, again, this video game that they're going through, clearing out the bad guys, and then they open up the safe place, you know, like The Witcher. You know, it's like when you clear out all the monsters and all the people move in.
Yeah. I was going to go with this is just Red Dead 2. Like, this is Red Dead Redemption 2, guys. We just keep moving bases and getting more and more people.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole arc was very weird. But apparently now Barbara and Jim are like allied, kind of, I guess, with this.
Well, she wants to use him to kill Penguin. That's her more important
thing. Oh, right.
That's
the whole thing. She said, like, yeah, because I helped you, you're going to help me kill Penguin. Because now it looks like whatever's going on with Riddler's going to set it up. And whatever's with Barbara, she's going to lead the war against it. So Sure.
She'll probably supply the weapons because the intro we saw also posted. She'll supply the weapons, you know, Penguin's going to supply the men. Ed's going to be the tactician. And then it's just going to be a giant fight to the end. Like,
well, and it looks like it's not even going to be against Penguin because supposedly Bane's going to show up this season, but I don't know when.
Right.
Because the next, you know, I'll talk about this when we talk about the next arc, but some of the stuff they're alluding to for the next episode, I'm like, is Bane ever going to show up here?
He'll be the mid-season villain.
I get it. But this already is a short season. This is half a season already.
Yeah, mid-season, six episodes. He'll be in the next couple.
I guess. But, all right, so that's the most about Jim and Harvey's thing. Did I miss anything in that plot line?
Only the geography of Gotham, which I'm still confused by, because the soothsayers are digging a tunnel trying to hit the mainland, which is like, we're going to hit the river. And I'm like, what? Wait a minute. Is Gotham an island or not?
Well, no, like, they established that that's the reason they can't get off, because the bridges blew up, so they're kind of isolated on this island that Gotham's located on.
Is it in a giant river?
Yeah.
Like,
I guess?
There isn't a... From the opening shot, I'm assuming it's like Manhattan, where it's, like, it's just entirely surrounded by water, and the bridges are the only way in and out.
So that river is called the ocean.
Yeah. Because I'm like, where are they digging? Like, I don't think this plan makes any sense.
It does. It was really stupid. I don't even know why they bothered. It was just because, again, they kill off all three of the gangs they introduced in this episode. So I was like, this was just pointless.
I think it was one of those things that people's like, well, why doesn't anyone dig a tunnel or use the sewer system? Well, here's the answer to that. It's like let's just throw a bunch of bullshit out to explain all the stuff we don't want to explain.
They're doing Stephen Moffat level stuff here where they just make fun of the fans, just like, oh, you guys have theories? Well, screw your theories.
Okay, no. Doctor Who, the well-written show. That's the
Oh, no, I was thinking more Sherlock, where they're just like, oh, your fan theories, how cute, kind of thing. But this does lead to...
My only favorite part of this whole arc was that when Jim does show up at one point, it does get very Mad Max with even short a line like, kill this one, we're bullet rich. Like,
he's not wrong. This?
What, are they going to go for guzzling next?
Dude, Gas Town needs... If Firefly's not in charge of the gasoline, that is a lost opportunity. Like, come on.
That would be amazing.
It's a lost opportunity, guys.
Yes, but... So that was all interesting. And also, it did lead to one of my favorite... probably the only part I really genuinely laughed at was when Sykes and Bullock are talking to each other. It's like, oh, what, you're a cop? It's like, yeah, the costume store was out of other options. It was this or sexy nurse. So
he honestly, like, he's like sort of Zaz, like,
I liked how he was like, the costume shop was out of gas masks. Like, it was like, oh, really? Post-apocalyptic and you went with a gas mask? How cliche.
It's Bullock. Be original. You really think he's going to go out of his way to come up with a metaphor or a joke?
Yeah. But this does lead to the other arc, which it's, you know, I say, but at the same time, like, this is the only one where anything happened that was of consequence and felt like it would actually affect the main storyline.
Done really stupidly.
Oh, because you see, I still had fun with Jim and Harvey on that one. Like, it's all filler and it doesn't really lead anywhere. But, you know, I'm like, you know, this is still okay. The Poison Ivy stuff, like, at that point, I was like, This is all fucking stupid.
Well, the problem is that because they, you know, severed Selena's spine, and literally there's no other way to fix her spine other than freaking crazy magic.
I told you guys from the beginning episode, this was a rewrite. This is a last minute rewrite to make her
total retcon.
Because she should have been out of the city and then got her thing fixed by the magical doctor thing she was going to go see and then just come back. Because this incontinuity explanation is so fucking forced.
Yeah, which, I mean, again, it's that whole thing that nothing exists outside of Gotham City except for, like, the few places they go to.
I don't know if it's because the actress wanted her contract, like, no, I want to be in all the episodes or something, but it's bad.
Yeah. Like, so basically...
The only thing I can think of as far as what it is, because, like, I remember what you talked about, like, yeah, they're supposed to fly her out. I thought they tried to fly her out, but they couldn't because of the airspace. And I think what they want to do is they want to explain why the fuck she's Catwoman and has a cat powers. So that's why they went with the Ivy storyline.
Something they don't need to explain. Like, yeah. She's Gotham, Catwoman because she's – the reason she's the way she's Catwoman is she's kind of a bitch. Like, there's not – we don't need her to, like, die and then get resurrected by cats
Or
she's already done. Yes, we do.
I mean, to be fair, they already did the Halle Berry Catwoman shot in the
How many
third
times
season.
Are we going to almost give this bitch cat powers?
Until
like,
we,
this
well,
is ridiculous.
So,
and so we give her cat powers.
Yeah, so let me just set that up. So Bruce is still looking for the cure. Whoever that crazy, like, 17th century nun nurse that he encountered earlier in the last episode, just like, oh, yeah, you got to go see the witch. And, you know, Nick and Travis called it. It was Poison Ivy. You know, silly me to think that they would go with anything even crazier than that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But, so even crazier, though, so he goes to find Ivy, who's in this one building that is being totally infested by evil plants. And apparently there's this gang of British hoodlums that have cornered her in this building.
Dude, they came out of a 17th century London.
Like, I really expected them to have pitchforks.
Dude, they came from the Salem Witch Trials.
The witch. Are you here for the witch? Like,
they came
where
from
are you
Salem
from?
Witch Trials.
Coming like straight out of an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Like, what the fuck?
Was this their crossover with Gotham by Gaslight? You know, just this random... Oh.
One has pitchfork.
But they didn't have torches. They should have had torches. They were still waiting for the torches.
Yeah,
why did they get torches?
Pitchfork as his weapon of choice. What happening?
The only thing I can think of is they want to continue that whole, like, 70s or whatever aesthetic. It's like, they want to continue it with, like, well, she's the witch, right? Let's have a bunch of people wanting to burn the witch because fuck it, Salem Witch Trials. This show is not subtle, guys.
What time period is Gotham in? What is
this
time period?
They have cell phones and phone...
I don't know, but I do know that the new Robin Hood movie took place in the same universe.
That
That's
they simultaneously use ham radios and cell phones. Figure that out.
Dude, you can take a picture of each three of the plot lines here and tell someone to be like, not only is that three different shows, it's three different time periods.
But
I would believe you.
They corner Poison Ivy because apparently they have the supernatural logic of, you know, you put salt all around her, you can't use anything.
Yeah.
But
not wrong.
It's like, you know, for plants, I guess it also works. Also, I love that, like, once we have more guys show up here, we're going to burn her. Because it takes more than three guys to set a building on fire. We tried.
Yeah, also, like, you have a pitchfork. You could probably, like, do some damage with her with that, even. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Well, they don't know what magic power she has. She controls plants. I want a few more people there just in case.
I'm just saying it takes one guy to set a building on fire. Like, I don't understand what's
also,
happening.
Also, if they cornered this person here, where in this point did the nurse have the time to find out that there was a witch going on? You know what I mean? Like, just
There's so much lore in this fucking storyline that makes no sense.
Well, the nurse is obviously from the same, like, somehow mini town inside of Gotham that is from the 18th century.
Yes, she's from that same town. Also, it sounds like Poison Ivy has been here for 3 months. It sounds like she's been here for years. To the point where she has medicines that she simultaneously doesn't know what they're going to do, but knows exactly what they're going to do.
Okay, well, that's the problem with Poison Ivy's character in general. That character has been retconned three fucking times because they don't know what the fuck to do with her.
Yeah.
She's a smart girl that's 8 years old. They go through a fucking aging thing. She becomes a 17-year-old idiot for like three fucking months. Then eats a bunch of bullshit and becomes an evil psychopath. Like, they don't know what to do with that character. They just keep making it up as they need to.
They really don't. But yeah, so that whole thing happens. Bruce negotiates a deal where it's like, oh yeah, I'll get you out of here if you help me find a cure for Ivy, for Selena. And then
then he buys her story, which I can only assume must be the pheromones, because right? It's like, are you a moron?
I know. And she even
now
calls
don't
him out.
Betray me.
She even calls him out on it at one point, just like, are you that freaking stupid and naive?
It's like, you're just kind of dumb.
Yeah, so they get her out. She kills all the other dudes, just, you know, blink of an eye, slashes their throats out. And then somehow Bruce uses reverse psychology to convince her to help Selena, because even though she hates her, she's like, well, but see, you want to help the plants, but all you're doing is making her, you know, you're hurting it and you're making these ugly monstrosities, so you clearly can't be that good at your job, right? And it's like, fine, I'll help you. I'm just like, yeah. What?
I don't know how that convinced her to help at all.
No,
also,
me neither.
It always works.
If I do this, you'll leave me alone, right? Hey, you know, Poison Ivy, you know what else would help him leave you alone? If he was dead. You should probably kill him.
Dude, every Arkham game, every conversation that Batman has with Poison Ivy is, I will hurt plants. It always works, so why not keep using it?
Yeah. Now, they just need an excuse to actually have, like, Bruce set up a villainy or a rivalry with Poison Ivy for the future. So, I don't know.
Set up the universe.
They find this bloody root thing that there's like, oh yeah, Selena's going to eat it, but when she eats it, it's going to unleash the dark side of her nature. And what...
Okay, so this seed thing... I know I'm gonna say this, and I don't know if I can walk it back, but I'm serious about it. This is the dumbest thing that Gotham has ever done.
You know, the sad thing is, I actually wrote a storyline that was in a fan fiction a long time ago. I'm like, oh, wow, they found my old fan fiction profile and just used that storyline.
I hope you were embarrassed about it, because this is fucking awful. Like, this Deus Ex Machina seed is so, like, I love how it's like, oh, take this. It affects everyone differently. Oh, so what's it going to do? Oh, it's going to go into her body and then fuse, use the roots to fuse her spine together. What? How do you know that?
Again, that's literally
it's just gonna work itself out, I guess.
Yeah, that's literally, they have to just make up bullcrap magic to excuse the thing that literally can't be solved any other way.
It's so. Just a MacGuffin.
And it's like, how many times have you done this where you know that's what it's gonna do? Also, it's like, oh, it affects everyone differently, but it does bring out people's hidden desires. Oh, so what is it? Do you not know what it does to people, or do you know exactly what it does to people?
Approximately exactly.
That makes it both.
Like,
she knows approximately exactly what it does.
In the same line of dialogue, they contradict themselves in this line of like what this magic seed is and what it can and can't do, and it gives the reason of making Selena evil or something.
I guess.
It's like, I'm like, this is so fucking stupid.
It's the problem we've complained about, that Ivy has a plant that literally does everything every season. Just like, oh yeah, Selena falls out of the window and breaks her spine. Oh, magic plants heals her too.
It's a plot plant.
Yeah.
I love how it's a plant that does, like, it brings out your inner monster, which is basically like three gases and pills that Gotham has used in previous storylines.
Right? Yeah.
But now we need to make up something completely different to use it.
We already got rid of Scarecrow last episode. So...
It's like, oh, we can save her, but we got to use the Jervis Tetch stuff to help her or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Because there's no way this scene is anything any stupider than what happened to Gordon. Like, this to me is the same level.
Yeah, so this happens. Bruce takes the root. Selena eats it because she's like, look, literally, I will do anything. I don't care what. Just, you know, give me that thing. She goes into a convulsive fit. Then they try to go, oh, yeah, she's stabilized. We'll leave her alone for a bit. And then she's up and about walking because she's miraculously cured. And then at the last minute, the last thing we see before the episode ends, you know, Bruce hugs her. It's all happy. And then the horrible green CG eyes start to show up on her. We're like, oh, she's got cat powers now.
Her pupils become slits. And it's like, oh, Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, I will say this, though, as dumb as this is, do not get me wrong. I at least did, like, her idea of it was like, look, I was going to kill myself before. I still want to kill myself. So either you let me do that or you give me the magical berry.
Yeah.
I do like that character mentality. He's like, fuck, I don't give a shit.
It's very in character for her to do that. Yeah. So, but that was just so, yeah, I mean, I mostly agree with Nick in this. Like, I mean, I still, again, it's the only thing that actually leads somewhere because we see a preview for next week's episode. So it's actually leading somewhere. But it was just like, it was such a, I don't know. I just couldn't process the line of logic.
I'll tell you what. I was trying to reason out why they did this, and here's my theory. They had the plot line last season where, like, I'll be here when you wake up, and then he sends her off, and he breaks his promise he wasn't going to be there. Only for them to retcon that in the first episode of this season and go, she never left, and he was there when she woke up. The original thing was supposed to be he breaks her promise he wasn't there for her when she needed him most, and that's what makes her bitter towards him, and that's what fuses the relationship. But that makes Bruce look like kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
And they didn't want, and they at the last minute they decided, we kind of don't want that. So instead we're going to make up a huge reason so that Bruce can kind of try and save her.
Yeah.
And he still looks noble.
Except for Bruce Wayne choosing Gotham over his relationships is kind of a regular thing.
Yeah, they choose him being a moron over him being an asshole. And I'm like, you know what? Just have him be an asshole. Yeah. It makes a lot more sense.
Well, or but remember that happened last season and we all hated that when Bruce became whoopee a-hole. So.
Well, because it was four episodes of him partying like a rock star. And it's
right.
Just like, we
that
get
was
it.
Completely
like,
different because that was just him doing that because. It was like,
yeah. Like well.
It, oh, I killed someone.
Well, no, it would have made, it was either they should have done that or they should have had the Joker just kill Selena and then brought her back with the, what's it? The
Lazarus Pit? No. Poison Ivy throws out the thing that they're gone.
No, the, what's it? The,
the Halle Berry the cats, thing, obviously. So.
No, the God damn it. The Hugo Strange thing.
Oh,
where
the crazy
he can
revival.
Bring people back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is Hugo Strange?
Like, who knows? He's off doing other stuff.
He can still revive dead people. So
that actor was in Bird Box.
Thing.
He was filming that while this was happening, I'm sure. So
is he in Bird Box?
Yeah, he's in Bird Box for like all of like 10 minutes. So
and then if they wanted to give her powers, that resurrection thing also sometimes gives you powers,
yep.
Or sometimes doesn't. It also changes your personality, unless it doesn't. If you're Fish Mooney. So it's
does whatever it wants.
As far as a Deus Ex Machina to bring somebody back and to give them powers and or change their personalities,
Gotham has enough.
They have so many options. They didn't need to bend over backwards to give us this stupid plant.
Yeah.
Again, they wanted to get Poison Ivy involved. Like, it's again, that's what this episode feels like. We got to get all these people up because I think what they want to end Gotham is they want to basically like, okay, guys, this is the DC universe you know now.
If this is
like,
going to be the Poison Ivy's last episode, that sucks.
It feels like it is, just based on the
way
she
went out on a whimper of a note.
But here's the thing is that they could have sold that. You could have done exactly what you said to do, Nick, and then took the like mysterious mother lady out of the show and had Poison Ivy there instead.
Yeah, no, that would have been better. Solved. That would have been better.
Dude, let us write Gotham. We can do it.
I'll at this point let them. It can't be any crazier than what's happening now.
Yeah, no, it feels like they really wanted just the season to be like everything but the kitchen sink, even more so than Gotham already is, where it's like, okay, we got like three more new villains that we want to introduce because as we've seen the preview, finally, the mutant gang will show up next episode. So, for some reason, no, seriously,
they've been chilling, doing nothing.
Basically, apparently, they're showing that like they're tied into the Joker storyline and Harley Quinn. Apparently, like was that Harley Quinn that they showed in the preview?
I have no idea because like I didn't know who that was. I'm like, should I know this person? And then y'all said Harley Quinn. I'm like, yeah, that I guess. So.
I'm assuming because I'm like, it looks like the actress who plays Echo, the character who's the not Harley Quinn character, quote. Right. But I'm like. That's really weird if that's the route we're going. But whatever, it's going to be a Bruce and Selena-centric episode next one, so...
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Here's the clicker.
Yeah.
So can I just skip it and y'all fill me in?
No, you got to be here next week, man.
Yeah, hopefully Penguin
I'm
going to
say this
up.
Straight up. I can't stand the actress that plays Selena Kyle. I cannot stand her. Like, I don't know who's the worst actress on this show, but like... I don't know, just something about her. I just never feel like she's doing
it. No, the second girl who played Ivy was the worst actress in this whole show. I will say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're fucking god, that airhead.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was really, like, as dumb as the storyline is, the actress playing Ivy in this part is at least much, much better than any of the...
I love her. She's a great actress.
That's
what's doubly painful
about it,
like, I know the show
is because they finally kind of fixed Ivy for me. I was like, you know what? She more or less works now. They finally got it, only to do this dumb bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Like, that airhead, that fucking second one was the worst.
Yeah, no, but, so yeah, that's, I mean, any other last observations or humorous points or anything that we all talk about this?
I think it's just, you know, the one thing that I can say as a positive is that, like, a lot of the other stuff with Gotham, when they have a boring storyline or something that they're not exactly invested in, they do wrap it up very quickly. Like, yeah. All this stuff is like it. Some of that pacing is kind of bad because it's like some stuff happens so fast you can't absorb it.
This feels like it would have been two episodes.
But for this, for like any other show, they could stretch any of these out to multiple episodes. So for Gotham, it's nice that it's like, oh, at least it's all done now. So it's kind of a clean slate for the next episode. We don't have any hanging threads that we have to like. Oh, well, that's cool. You know, and then I remember previous seasons of like, oh, the Whisper Gang, oh, they seem kind of boring. Oh, they're gone. Like, so that's a constant hope for Gotham is that even stuff you don't like, there's just every chance that next episode it is just not a thing anymore.
True.
So that's what's kind of cool. But it does feel weird that in the last run of Gotham, where there's a limited number of episodes, that they choose to do so little in one of them. Like, and... You know, move the plot forward so little and use established characters so rarely. Like, it's really a weird misstep because I thought the first episode was like, yeah, Gotham is back. And this is kind of like, yeah, this is
this is like season one Gotham, it feels like.
We're treading water here, guys. This is boring.
Yeah, no, like I said, this was... Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm starting to get even lesser on my okay rating the more we talk about it, to be honest. But, yeah, this was just a thing.
I love the show, don't get me wrong. And
I'm just saying, this was not a good episode, I don't think.
And I don't think it gets to the point of, like, season one had, like, some really, like, it was still trying to figure itself out. Mm. Like, its growing pains were really bad.
Wait, you mean you don't want to see another episode of The Goat Demon?
I do.
See, the goat demon.
I want to see Balloon Man come back.
That's where I came in on was
the goat demon is actually so dumb. It was kind of like, you know, this is actually kind of awesome.
Like, I think that's actually when I came out. I was like, what the fuck are you watching? Gotham.
Watching Gotham.
Okay, I'm curious
as
now.
A goat demon.
What the fuck? Yeah. I'm just kind of curious, though, because, like, Jim's always been kind of like the golden son of Gotham, but, like, at the end of this episode where he's, like, bringing all these people into this magical green place... That, like, this one lady goes up to him and, like, treats him like he's their new messiah.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Oh, Savior Jim came with us.
That was
people
so
are gonna
lame.
Think he's Batman. I'm sure people are definitely gonna think, like, oh, there's a savior people helping Gotham, and he's kind of a vigilante, and he's kind of on the edge. It's definitely Jim Gordon.
Seriously,
like,
no, dude,
I don't even know.
You said last season's review, Nick, this is the setup for the bunny ear rabbit soup Jim Gordon Batman. Like, that's totally what they're gonna happen at the end of this.
Oh, God, no. No, I'll fight you if that's the case.
Oh, I'm hoping it's not. I'm just saying that it feels like that's an option that it could possibly go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so next week's episode is going to be, well, it's episode 3, and the title of it is Penguin Our Hero. That's at least what it's listed at as on IMDb.
I wonder what it's about.
I am excited already.
You're going to say you're hard, just say it.
Yes.
I wonder what it's about.
Oh, clearly about Mr. Freeze.
With penguin excitement.
Dude, Mr. Freeze, man, I love Mr. Freeze.
So, okay, when you said last
Wait,
episode,
so,
Nick,
oh my god, so you hate
boy,
Gotham,
oh boy, oh boy,
but
oh
Mr. Freeze does it for you?
Okay, real quick, Mr. Freeze is one of my favorite Batman villains ever, and my favorite episode of Gotham is his origin story, but after that, I kind of agree with you, they do nothing with him.
Okay, thank you, because I'm like, he's the most boring villain now, like...
He is, because they do nothing with him, but he's my favorite villain because he's so cool, but they do nothing with him.
Yeah.
I'm glad you can remain objective.
It's Gotham. I can only remain objective. I'm the only person, I guess, here that hates this show, and the last words I have on this is a typical episode of Gotham. This is what I remember. Like, I can never recommend the show to anybody because one episode will be amazing, but the next episode will be this, and I feel like there's too many cooks in the kitchen. There are too many people that are writing these stories that have no idea. There's only one good writer in a room full of 10 writers, and that good writer wrote the first episode and then fucked off for this one. So.
See, that's why I gotta disagree, is that this is an outlier for me. Like, every once in a while, we'll get a clunker of an episode in Gotham, but most of the time, it maintains a level of ridiculousness and...
at least entertainment.
And entertainment and over-the-top acting and action that it's highly entertaining.
Yeah.
And no, this one doesn't hit it for some reason.
This one just didn't have enough sharks to jump.
It felt like it was just...
It didn't enough stupid shit.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
No, seriously, that's the thing is, like, there's so little energy this episode. I think that's the biggest problem with this. Like, even the fights suck, the dramatic scenes kind of suck, there's only, like, two funny scenes in this episode, they're all from Harvey, and it's just, yeah.
Well, also, like, it can have ridiculous stuff, like, even the goat demon episode, it's like, oh, isn't it ridiculous that a goat demon is on this show? But, like, the writing level of this magic miracle seed is like, this is this is baby town storytelling stuff, guys. Like,
did she also have amnesia this episode? What?
Like, yeah, like, now. Yeah, like, it's just bad. Like,
I don't remember my name, or my parents are dead.
I don't remember my name, but that's the only thing I don't remember. Okay.
Well, I think we'll call it a wrap on this one. Yep. But, you know, thank you guys so much. It's always fun to talk about Gotham, even at its weakest episodes. But, Alan, since you're the guest host here, why don't you tell the lovely people where they can find you on the internet?
As Justin said earlier, I'm part of the Midnight Chat Attack. So if you go to Facebook and type in Midnight Chat Attack, one word, you'll eventually see the Facebook page. That's where you'll get all the places where you'll normally hear me yelling belligerently, sometimes about Gotham. But yeah, we're on Twitch at Midnight Chat Attack, so check that out if you want to hear me talk more about other stuff. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, I believe on the old YouTube page you can see the segment where Alan and I vehemently debate on Gotham.
That is one of my biggest regrets, because I was not on that day. Like, I was just off. Like, that's why I was like, yo, man, I'm happy to be here.
You also had everyone...
I get to kind of redeem myself.
No, you were in the face of a well-reasoned argument, and everyone else jumped on you.
Oh, don't talk about Gotham here. I don't want to hear you about a well-reasoned argument. I don't even want to talk about that fucking show.
You take him to task, Justin. You represent...
Oh, man, that show is gone. I'm sorry. Like, I know we're in the recording. Fuck Gotham. This fucking show sucks.
And yet you still watch it.
Yeah, I know. I also sat through Titans. I can watch a lot of shit.
Alan, why do you hate yourself?
As a man who's watched, like, 7 seasons of Arrow, I relate.
Hey, Arrow's great. I know Arrow's had some bad seasons, but I like Arrow.
Oh my god, okay, we're about to come to blows here. If you're gonna tell me Arrow is better than Gotham,
yeah, I will.
Let's end the insanity. Nick, you guys are on the Unapologetic Geek Out, whatever. Okay.
Well, I don't remember my name, but I do remember you can find me at Nick Theis, T H Y E S, on Facebook or on Twitter. You can also find all of our other podcasting projects, including the Unapologetic Geek Out podcast or UGO podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. You can also find us on Netflix and Kill on iTunes and Stitcher.
Where we also talk about Gotham.
Where we also talk about Gotham a lot and other killer stuff on Netflix. And, of course, our Stand Against Evil podcast, which is another great, fun, campy show. That's Pod Against Evil, also on iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere where podcasts are available. And Travis is unavailable. He can't remember anything. Not even
my name.
Not even his name. So
I lost my passwords, couldn't remember them. They were all my name. It sucks.
Yeah. No, you have to have a number and a symbol. So your name, hashtag 8.
It's Travis with a 5 at the end.
What is he, Prince, with a symbol for a name?
Yeah.
Just call him a letter.
Yeah, you can find me here on oneofus.net, Eye on the Prize podcast, Screener Squad, this show, Breakfast Pub, which, hey, this week, Nick and Travis are going to be on it as well, so.
Yay!
Woo!
Wait, I am?
Well, are you? sorry. I assume that you guys are a package deal.
I just show up, and when I do, Nick tells me to get on the mic. I'm like, all right, whatever.
All right.
You laugh, I'm not joking.
I believe it. I've been there when you've been there, when it's happened. But yes, thank you guys. And yeah, next week, I really hope Gotham picks up after this episode. So, all right, see ya.